Thank you for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship. It is our sincere prayer that you're richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbf.org.
Good morning, guys. How you guys doing? Well, Memorial Day is tomorrow, and you're not supposed to say happy Memorial Day because it's not a happy day for some people, so make sure we're careful about what we post and whatnot. But in lieu of Memorial Day, today I'm going to talk to you guys about strength and courage. And there's been many, many men and women who have given their lives, and they had moments of strength and courage, and they did that for us so that we could have our freedom. And so it's going to be a good message. It's going to be quick. I was looking at my notes. I had about 2.5 hours, I feel, to do this morning, and I have to figure out how to condense that into just a few minutes. But I think we can do that this morning. So I'm going to have Nicole Dickey come out. She's going to start the message and kind of set the tone for what we're going to talk about. This has a lot to do with what we're talking about today. So give it up for Nicole Dickey.
Good morning. This week we were in a meeting here at church, and we were talking about a certain concept, and Josh said, hey, will you come Sunday and just share that? So in our reading today, or this week, we've been in the book of Revelation. And one thing I love about Revelation is how God just reveals so much to John to reveal to us. And this week we've been sitting in Revelation 2 and 3, and we've been talking about these seven churches. And now, these are real seven churches that existed during this time, and they all had seven physical ailments that God is revealing to John and he is talking about. But we also believe that Revelation is a prophetic book of the Bible speaking about end times. And so as we see that, you can look at these churches and also see church history. And what's so cool about that is you can see in time's prophetic word on where we're at. And although I don't have time to go in that today, we encourage you guys to check out our Instagram and Facebook. We do daily devotions on there. And on Thursday, we kind of go through each of those time periods. But if we understand that, then we would have to understand that we are sitting in the church of Laodicea today. And in John, or in Revelation 3, it talks about how the church of Laodicea is this lukewarm church that lacks the zeal and the backbone. And we were in this meeting this week, and we were talking about how do we make sure that we don't become the church of Laodicea? How do we make sure we don't lose the zeal? And I feel like God just kind of spoke to me and said, Nikki, it's so simple. What is the greatest commandment that I gave you? Well, do we remember in Matthew 22, verse 36, a Pharisee asked this question of Jesus. He says, teacher, which is the greatest great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Do you guys see the order of this? First, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Second, go and love others. But I believe sometimes in the church, we flip these two. Or maybe we put them on the same playing field, right? Where we say it's equal to love others as much as it is to love Jesus. And I think sometimes we have to come back to the basics that God said first, now second. What happens when we flip those two? You see, when we learn to love people, if we're trying to love people before we've connected with God, that love comes off as self-serving. It's a pat on the back. It's a look what I did. Or perhaps it turns our faith into works. Or maybe it can be inconsistent because we know our human nature and it comes off as wishy-washy to others. Or maybe it's even people-serving, as we lack the courage and the zeal to stand up for what we should and instead tell people what they want to hear. But when we get the order correct, when we go and we are in love with God and we give him everything, and then that love just starts pouring out of us, that love is so organic. That love in itself, it's true in its purest form. But you know what the most beautiful part about that love is? It's refining. You see, where the world says love equals approval. If you want to love somebody, you have to love them exactly where they are, as they are, and don't push them outside of that. You see, God's love is the refining fire. In fact, Paul talks to the church of Corinth in 2 Corinthians, and he talks about how God's love brings him from glory to glory. It is life
changing. It pushes us to grow. It molds us. It makes us. And the only way that we can love people with that kind of love is being tapped into the source of that kind of love. And so this is a very simple concept that I just wanted to share with you today, as Josh requested, but this idea of not switching those greatest commandments, understanding that the order is there for intention and purpose. First, let's fall madly in love with God. Let's allow that love to pour out of us. And I believe that the world is going to see a love that is out of this world, and we'll be able to bring the world and people from glory to glory. So, thanks, Josh.
So I wanted her to set the tone for that, for this message, because like she said, love is refining, and love is the center of everything. And believe it or not, love is actually this at the center of strength and courage. It actually makes sense if you think about it. You think of a hero in a story, and the hero always gives their lives for somebody that they love or care about, right? And so it makes sense. And so if we love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, we learn to trust him, and we learn to have a relationship with him, and we learn to realize that he's going to be there with us every step of the way. I'm going to pray real quick, and then we're going to continue moving on. Father, I thank you for this day. Lord, I pray, God, that you would just anoint this, Lord, not just from my mouth, but anoint it for our ears as well. God, I pray, Lord, that we would hear exactly what we need to hear today, what we need to hear, not what we want to hear necessarily, but what we need to hear. And I pray, Lord, that whatever words you have for us would fall on receiving ears and on hearts and on minds that are ready to act upon what you have for us, Lord. And I just thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to start with 1 John 4:15 to continue in this this love theme here. So whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. So there's no fear in love. There's no fear in love. In fact, love, perfect love, casts out fear. I don't know if you guys have ever been in a situation where you're being bullied, but if you have a friend or a sibling that stands up for you, you know, they love you, and they come in, and they help you out, and what happens is your fear ends up going away, right? It ends up leaving. And that's what God does. He doesn't take us out of the fire. He doesn't take us out of the situation, but he's there with us through it, right? The word love there is agape love, and it means affection, but it also means action, right? It means actively involved. And I think that sometimes we get the two confused. We think that loving God or loving each other is just a feeling or a nice thought, but it's more than that. It's an action. Believe it or not, showing up today, right? Or even turning it on the internet today and listening to what God has for you. That's an act of love, right? It's simple. It's small. It seems small, but it's an act of love. You guys showed up today. You know, maybe you forgot why you showed up today, but you showed up today because you love God, right? With all your heart, soul, and mind. At least you're trying to get to that place. You're trying to get more of that in your life. In Joshua chapter 1, in verse 6, it says, "Be strong and courageous, for you shall give this people possession of the land which I swore to their fathers to give them." This is God speaking to Joshua. He's about to take over. He is taking over for Moses, and he's moving on. So verse 7 says, "Only be strong and very courageous. Be careful to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, so that you may have success wherever you go." Verse 9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Verse 18, "Anyone who rebels against your command and does not obey your words and all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and courageous." God repeats himself 1, 2, 3, 4 times, saying, "Be strong and be courageous. Be strong and be courageous. The word strength means to fasten upon. I want to show you a picture of a tree that my friend Adrian planted out in the foothills. Why you would do that, I don't know, but he likes to do good things. So if you see this picture of the tree, you see this rod in the middle of the tree. It's because this tree is young. It's a baby tree, right? And this rod is going to help that tree grow straight. Look at the next slide. You see how this tree is growing straight because of that rod. That rod represents strength, the strength that God gives us. When we're young, He keeps us straight. He keeps us connected. He keeps us fastened to Him. And as we get older, I think that eventually he'll pull back and let us stand on our own because we're strong enough, right? And then there are times where He needs to bring the rod back and needs to hold on to us again, right? But then when we're strong again, He pulls back and He lets us live life, right? That's what God does. So the word strong means to fasten upon. The word courageous to me means to be alert. I thought that was interesting. Right? So strength means that you're going to be strengthened by God. He's going to be there with you. You have a deeper strength than you even know, right? So stay focused. Stay in the game. Stay aware. Focus on your calling. Focus on what it is that God has put you on this earth to do and who God has called you to be, right? How many of us forget? We forget that God put a promise in our heart. We forget that God put a hope in our heart. We forget that God is calling us to a certain place. Maybe not physically, but spiritually, mentally, right? He's taking us further and further. And we have to have strength, which is reliance on God. And we have to have courage, which is the ability to stay focused and stay in the game, right? Daniel chapter 3, we have a wonderful story of courage. What happens is Daniel's friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which is such a hard name to say, but we've learned how to do it. So they refused to bow down and worship to Nebuchadnezzar's God, right? And because they believed in their God. And they refused to bow down to another God. And this angered Nebuchadnezzar so much that he not only threw them in a fiery furnace, but he had them heat this fiery furnace way more than it normally would be heated. And so the men that tied these three men up to throw them in this fiery furnace, they died because they got so close to the flame. But what we have here is we have something going on to where these three men are protected. It says, but these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell into the midst of the furnace of the blazing fire, still tied up. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded, and he stood up in haste, and he said to the high officials, was it not three men we cast into the midst of the fire? They replied to the king, certainly, O king. He said, look, I see four men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm. And the appearance of the fourth is like the son of the gods. There are certain people that believe that that was Jesus in his resurrected form. Could be, right? How many of us have been through a very difficult time, but Jesus was there? Right? And I know you guys at home can't see this, but I got some agreement here in the crowd. We know that he doesn't take us out of the fire, but sometimes he's with us in the fire. These men were unharmed, and they should have been harmed. Look at Matthew 28:20. These are the last words that Jesus gives. The very last words that Jesus gives in the book of Matthew, okay, in the account of Matthew. He says, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That is Jesus' promise at the end of the book of Matthew, saying, I'm with you. I'm with you always. Right before that, he says, make disciples, do what you're called to do, but don't worry because I am with you. I am with you. And look, I know that this last year, 2 years has been a doozy, right? It's been tough. But I've seen God move, and I've seen him not give up on us as a church, as individuals, you know? And we're stronger because of it. Look at 2 Timothy 1, 6 through 9. It says, "For this reason I remind you to kindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of timidity or fear, but of power and love and discipline," or a sound mind. "Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity." So he talks about suffering here, right? James, look at James 1:2-4. It says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing." So you have suffering, you have trials, these things that come our way. And God uses these things to whittle away what is not us. I want to show you guys some slides of a book that I have. It's a coffee table book. And I realize you can't read the words, but I want you to see the pictures. I have the words here. I'll read them to you just like I read a book to my kid at night, all right? It'll be reading time. It'll be fun. It says, "This is a bar of soap. I gave bars of soap to sculptor friends of mine and asked them to carve something out of them. Stunning, isn't it? And yet these sculptures were in those bars the whole time. All the sculptors really did was remove, sculptor shape and form and rearrange, but at the most basic level, they take away. And there is an extraordinary, beautiful art to knowing what to take away." That book is Drops Like Stars, and that's Rob Bell that wrote that book. But what he says, what he's basically saying, and what I've taken from this is that we come out like a bar of soap. We come out like a clump of something, right? And God whittles away all the things that are not of us. He eliminates the things that aren't supposed to be there. And he does that through trials and through suffering. He does that through trials and through suffering. That's why when James says, "Consider it all joy when you encounter trials," you should, because that's God's way of taking away the things that aren't you, that weren't supposed to be you. God is sculpting us. He's creating in us a deeper person. He's creating in us a more powerful person, somebody who relies more on God and on the Holy Spirit. He's creating in us something new every single day. And when trials come, that's him doing that. When suffering comes, that's him doing that. He's making us into the people that we're supposed to be, right? There are three key eliminations that I thought of. I think there's more, but for this sermon, I thought of three. And the first one is self, right? God wants us to lay ourselves down. He wants us to be unselfish, right? He wants us to be not people that are self-serving. He wants us to be people who lay ourselves down so that God can be glorified. John the Baptist said, I must decrease in order for him to increase, right? I must decrease in my life. So many times I pray that prayer, "Lord, let me be less of me and more of you," because I know who I am, right? I know when Josh shows up, it's like, okay, here we go. But when Josh and Jesus shows up, it's different. It's a different story, right? The second thing is pride. Obviously, God wants us to lay down our pride. Proverbs 8:13 talks about, it says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, and pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverted mouth I hate." So pride is one of these sins. Go back to that slide. Pride in these sins is something that God actually hates. He actually hates it when we're prideful. Pride is very simple. It's when we just say, "I can do this on my own. I got this. I don't need God." It's saying, and when we say that in our hearts, something changes. And I think that God pulls back completely, even though we might still need him. He pulls back and says, okay, you don't need me. I'm going to pull back and we're going to see how this goes. And then we end up finding ourselves in unneeded suffering and unneeded frustration and unneeded confusion, right? Because we've forgotten that it's a co-mission, right? It's the great co-mission. We're with Christ in what we do, right? The third thing is reliance on anything other than God. When we rely on others, or we rely on our degrees, or we rely on our skills, or we rely on anything else other than God, it's their dysfunction sets in. We are meant to rely. We are. We're meant to rely. And I know some of you out there, and I would say it's just men, but I know it's women too. Some of us out there, we don't like to rely on others, right? Or we don't like to naturally rely on other people. We think that we're the only ones that can come through. But when it comes to God, it's different. God will always come through. And he teaches us that reliance, and he teaches us to let go and to trust him, to let him be that rod. So I'm going to play a video right now, and the video is in subtitles, which means you got to read it. This guy is speaking in German. I was playing the video this morning, and one of the guys said, is this supposed to be in another language? I said, well, a guy speaks another language. It is what it is. So I want you to watch this video. It's very interesting. It's very good. It's about a fighter. And then I'm going to have the worship team come out, and they're going to sing a song. And as we worship, I want you to do business with God. Okay? I want you to do business with God. Whatever it is that is keeping you from being the person that God has called you to be, lay it down. Let God eliminate that. Let him take it away. It's not you. It's not you, man. So those of you guys that are the spouses that had an argument today, listen, your husband, your wife, they said something, but that wasn't them, okay? That wasn't them. They're going to lay that down today, and they're going to change, and they're going to move on. So have grace for them, all right? So let's play that video, and then we're going to worship God today.
Thank you for listening. We pray that this message has ministered to your heart. If you don't already have a church you call home, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We're at 2300 East Brundage Lane in Bakersfield, California, near Mount Vernon and Freeway 58. Reach us by phone at 661-325-2251 or visit our website at vbf.org. Here is our King.